What's up? What's up, my friends out in space? What's up, my fellow Grizzlies? That was the theme from the TV show Route 66, Route 66, that famous 1960s TV show about two young men, Todd Stiles and Buzz Murdoch, on the road in a Chevrolet Corvette. The theme song was composed by Nelson Riddle. And it has kind of that wacky, edgy kind of, we're never going to stop because we're always going to have fuel for our Corvette. It's a never-ending road on Route 66. Parties and women. Yeah. Route 66 followed two young men traversing the United States in a Chevrolet Corvette convertible, and the events and consequences surrounding their journeys. Martin Milner starred as Todd Stiles, a recent college graduate with no future prospects due to circumstances beyond his control. He was originally joined on his travels by Buzz Murdoch, played by George Maharis, a friend and former employee of his father, with the character leaving midway through the third season after contracting Echo Virus. Near the end of the third season, Todd met a recently discharged Vietnam vet named Lincoln Case, played by Glenn Corbett, who decided to follow Todd on his travels and stayed with him until the final episode. Yeah, I don't know about Route 66 bullshit, people. I don't know about Todd and Buzz and Hard Case, Lincoln Case, the Vietnam vet. That TV show played from 1960 through 1964. So Lincoln Case would have been one of the first Vietnam vets returning from Vietnam. Yeah. So a friend of mine was emailing me today about Kirk Douglas dying at 103. And it's sad, I know. My friend was commenting on how he looked back in the 60s and how today he looks... Well, before he died, just now, today, he looked terrible. But he was 103. That's more than twice as old as me. And my friend was suggesting that maybe it would be better if we did some type of Logan's Run type scenario. You know? Before we go too far into Logan's Run, I'll have you know today is Thursday, February 6, 2020. It's just after 7 p.m. here in Seattle, Washington, Pacific Standard Time. Before we go too far down the fucking road of Kirk Douglas, thank you. Yeah. So, anywho, my friend mentioned that maybe we should have some type of Logan's Run bullshit. Although, in that scenario, everybody died at 30, so I've been past my shelf life for 20 years. And I don't know, maybe the best time to die is 60, maybe the best time to die is 50. I mean, my shit still works. If I had money, if I had money, I'd be happy as a clam. But the fact is, I have no money because there's certain types of hooking I'll do. There are certain types of prostituting I'll do. But there are other kinds of hooking I won't do. And that's pretty much my situation here in Little Saigon. I would do anything for money, right? But I won't do that. I don't know what Meatloaf was talking about for love, but he won't do that. What was that? What was that, Meatloaf? What was the thing you wouldn't do for love? Did it involve a metal object? Did it involve a metal cylinder being shoved up your rectum? You would do anything for love, but you won't do that. I'm kind of curious to know what that is, baby. Yeah, my friend might be right though. Maybe, I don't know. 103 seems awfully old, and if he was happy, fuck, let him be 100. I don't care. His time, his money. I have to be blunt though about this whole situation. I really don't see it being a choice for me. I know you're saying, Dan, they're gonna be able to cure the gumbus and you're gonna be living to be 100 and Bolimbia. Well, I beg to differ. I don't know, folks. I don't know, man. I meditate on this question. Sometimes I think about it. Me personally, I want to live as long as I can. When I can't eat, when I can't fuck, when I can't breathe, when I can't really do the things I need to do, I kind of don't want to live. I don't want to be a lame beast stuck in the streets with coyotes nipping at my fucking heels. I don't want to be at the county hospital having experimental drugs administered to me because I don't have health insurance. You don't think that shit happens, you need to wake the fuck up. This isn't magic land. I don't live in magic land. I live in Little Saigon. In Little Saigon, yeah, you don't have money. You go see the doctor. He signs you up for a pharmaceutical study. Pretty bad, it's pretty terrible. Yes, I do not believe I will have the option, folks. I think that, it's nice to fantasize, but this idea of speculating on whether I'd want to live to be 100, I'd be surprised if I'm alive in 10 years. Like, Right now, I give my odds of being alive in 10 years at 50-50. 50-50. 50% I'm alive. 50% I'm dead. I'd say there's at least a 40% chance I'm eaten by coyotes. Probably a side probability that they eat me so completely that I am just a big pile of poop when they're done. Yep. I know some of you are saying, Dan, are you for euthanasia then? No. I am for human beings staying the fuck out of that whole thing altogether. I think how long you want to live is up to you. If you have the money and you can live forever, go for it. Do I think that that's at all likely? No. But if you want to fucking risk it, if you want to say, Dan, I'm going to have my brain put in a jar. Dan, my brain will be placed in a jar. Yep, I don't think it'll be a choice, my dear friends out there in space-time and the universal gumbus of the eternal ether of the dark matter that exists between every particle, and we're lost in it. I don't think I'm going to have the choice to live to be 103. I'm going to throw that out there. So meditating on the question, what would it be like to be 100? You know what? I'm kind of wondering what it's going to be like to be 60. My guess, it's probably going to suck. And since I don't believe in the healthcare gumbus, I will probably end up dying when I'm 62. That last day, I will be vomiting up whiskey. On that last day, I will be on some terribly thrown together a surgical table someplace, I don't know, maybe in Bellevue. Of course, by then, it'll be called Sector 12 Death Zone. Sector 12 Dead Zone. Yes, I'll be on the slab in the year 2030, dead of multiple injuries from coyotes and wolves and lamprey rats and orca whales. And don't forget the fucking sewer raccoons. Don't forget the raccoons that live in the fucking sewers. If you forget those things, they won't forget you. You'll be dead. Thank you. I took my stroll up to Harborview today, Harborview Medical Center. I was up there around 4 p.m. I saw the typical traffic that didn't seem out of the ordinary, although the traffic up there, I used to work up there. The traffic is terrible. It sucks. Oh, I don't know why people put themselves through that living hell. Except to say that that is the meaning of their existence. There was nothing weird going on. I didn't see any lines around the block, no indication that Deflatormouse, the Wu Flu, Bat Scratch Fever, NCOV, the fucking Mexican beer bat virus. There was no indication of the sick or the dying. No indication of alarm or panic, nothing obvious. Just the gray, angry, scrumbly folk of Seattle. There was no sign of the plague, no sign of the illness. I did see a sheriff standing outside the opening of the emergency room, but that's kind of typical. They usually have a King County sheriff or some other professional available. Could have been security. And according to the World Health Organization, after receiving a massive amount of money, the virus has been cured. The virus has been cured. It's been cured because of money. It's been cured. Yep. Don't know, folks, but they seem to be telling us it's all fine. And the more they say it's all fine, the more I think it might not be. But that's just because we've been so fucked with, you know? Let's go to the plague update. What do you think? You want to talk about the plague, the situation with the plague, the current plague, total cases. I believe this is total cases worldwide. Stands at 31,000. The death toll is currently 639, if you believe it. I do not. China claimed growth in people under medical observation has peaked and is now slowing. I believe that could indicate that their capacity for helping people has now peaked and it's now slowing. I think that's the way you'd read it. I fixed it for you. Japan reports 41 additional cases for a total of 61 aboard a quarantined cruise ship. A quarantine cruise ship. Is that the Diamond Princess? Oh, that's a disease ship. Why don't they just take it out and sink it with a torpedo? That's what you do in the movies, man. You can't help those people. They're doomed. Sink the ship with a torpedo. Do you really want that fucking bat virus, that fucking gumbus to get anywhere else? You're gonna have to sink it with a nuclear torpedo. Senior Chinese Communist Party officials orders Wuhan to round up infected residents for mass quarantine camps. That sounds nice. Beijing completes second coronavirus hospital in Wuhan. Woo-hoo-hoo. Wuhan Hospital confirms that doctor who was one of the first to warn about the virus died on Thursday. We already spoke about that. That is sad. Economists warn China faces difficult dilemma in deciding when workers should return to work. Well, it's kind of going to be, if this is a real thing, it's going to be a dilemma for more than just the Chinese, I think. Taiwan halts visas for citizens of Macau and Hong Kong. Germany confirms 13th case. two suspected cases found in South Africa. I have no idea what this thing is going to do in Africa if it gets loose. Two suspected cases found in South Africa, and then Dubai reports third death outside of China. Well, fuck. Dang it, Dubai. What can we say about you? I don't know, folks. This plague could be real. It's like it's beginning to seem like it could be real, and it could suddenly start happening, and then all of a sudden the world turns upside down, and everything is martial law, and scary people walking around spacesuits, and viscera, and vomit, and blood, puke, and pus, and all the decaying flesh of the dead, the dead, the dead. The dead will fill the streets with sadness and scorn. The dead will fill the streets with nothing but what we left undone for a future not yet revisited. So I don't know what this plague will look like, but maybe it won't be a plague of the body. Maybe it'll become a plague of the soul. Indeed, if this is a plague, maybe it's not a plague of the body, maybe it's a plague of the soul. If this is a virus, maybe it's not hijacking our cells, maybe it's hijacking our minds. Maybe this is really just a mind virus. You see, right now, it all seems so fucking make-believe. I see pictures of Wuhan, and it looks like a fucking sci-fi movie, but I'm told everything's contained. I see pictures of people stacking bodies like cordwood, but they tell me it's contained. I hear of crematoriums, you know, places where they burn bodies. I've heard that they're burning bodies 24/7, but everything's contained. Yes, indeed. Shenzhen, the city of Shenzhen. Yes, I've heard rumors that the city of Shenzhen is on its way to being in a state of quarantine, but then this might just be a rumor. If you look at the stock market, In the Western markets, things have been kind of green, right? It's like unicorns are vomiting everywhere. There's nothing to worry about, that's what they tell us. They tell us, don't walk down 9th Avenue, don't see what's at the end of 9th Avenue. If you walk down to the end of 9th Avenue from Jefferson Street, not far from Harborview, you'll see something you're not supposed to see. If you walk down 9th Avenue about two or three blocks, you'll see a field where they're setting up trucks and sorting lines for people. They're going to sort them. They're going to sort the people and send some of them to Holiday Village near Bothell. Yes, they'll send the adults to Holiday Village. They'll send the kids to Christmas Island. At Holiday Village, the humans will be barely fed. Yes, they'll claim it's for their own good as they're beaten with rubber hoses. The ones who die, they're loaded into trucks to go to Taco Time. We know that story, the Taco Time story. You know, what's the new special ingredient? What's the new nutritional fucking thing you're going to get? Where are my vitamins coming from, Dan? If they're not growing food, if the trucks aren't moving, if everybody's sick, how am I going to eat, Dan? How am I going to eat if there's about a week's worth of food in the average modern city? How are we going to eat in week three? What are we going to be eating on day 15, Dan? Will it be tasty, Dan? Will it be savory? Will it be something that has a curry flavor to it? Dan, will I have to eat something that has a tattoo on it? Yes, Dan, will I have to eat something? Will I have to consume something for dinner that has a tattoo? Indeed, Dan, will I have to consume something that has a tattoo on it? What will I eat? What will I eat when the roads are shut down? What will I eat? Well, I'll tell you what, folks, you eat what you gotta eat. You survive. You stay alive. I don't think you should harm people, but I also don't want you to get harmed. But do what you gotta do. If you have to get creative about the street protein, if you have to collect up all the Climbiac and Flimbus that lays by the wayside, if you have to live off the greases and the oils and the proteins that have always been there smiling at you, do what you gotta do. Do what you gotta do to survive, that's what I say. It's called surthrival for a reason. Yes, just don't survive, sir, thrive. Yes, don't just survive. Yes, don't just survive. Sir, thrive. Sir, thrive. This may be a short little Saigon report because we're already at the feel-good story. Now, technically, this feel-good story, it didn't recently appear, this feel-good story is, yeah, more than a year old. But I like it. It's a good feel-good story. It fits with tonight's theme. You know, old people and happiness. This comes from the Metro UK news, but not as you know it. Okay, Metro. I like your edgy hipster style. No, I don't. Headline. World's oldest woman says she's never lived a happy day in 128 years. This is written by Jimmy Snubuga. I don't know how to say his name, but I'm probably going to be accused of racism. This was published on 16 May 2018, so it's almost a couple years old. And I repeat, headline, world's oldest woman says she's never lived a happy day in 128 years. The world's oldest woman claims to have never lived a happy day in her life. Koku Istambulova is apparently 128 years old, so that is a long time to be miserable. Yeah. Her birth date of June the 1st, 1889, was apparently confirmed by the Russian government on her passport, but it's still hard to believe considering the oldest person ever documented was 122. Despite possibly being a record breaker, Miss Istambulova, who lives in a village in Chechnya, is not too happy with her life. I have not had a single happy day in my life, Miss Istambulova said. I have always worked hard digging in the garden. I am tired. Long life is not at all God's gift for me, but punishment. Looking back at my unhappy life, I wish I had died when I was young, and now I am not living. I am just dragging through. Mrs. Istambulova has lost all her children, with her last surviving daughter, Tamara, dying 5 years ago at the age of 104. The pensioner says she has no secret to living long, but admitted she loved fermented milk and didn't eat meat or soups, which may have helped. She added, "It was God's will. I did nothing to make it happen. I see people going in for sports, eating something special, keeping themselves fit, but I have no idea how I lived until now." Mrs. Istambulova claims she survived the Russian Civil War after the Bolshevik Revolution, the Second World War, and two Chechen Wars. She said she was also exiled by Stalin, adding, "When in exile, we lived in Siberia too, but in Kazakhstan, we felt how the Kazakhs hated us. Every day I dreamed of going back home." Despite the doom and gloom, Mrs. Istambulova is apparently happy sometimes, especially when she's sitting in her favorite place outside her house in summer. The current oldest person in the world is 117-year-old Chiyo Miyako from Japan. The oldest documented person was Jeanne Calment from France, who lived 122 years, 164 days, dying in 1997. Fuck. That's a long time. Yeah, that's it. That's our feel-good story for today. It isn't recent, I know. It's a couple years old. But hey, when we're talking about people who are 128, fuck. And I may have mentioned this woman before in some old podcast from a long time ago. But I think it's kind of a funny story because, you know, people will say, if you want to live a long life, you got to be happy. Well, maybe. I think maybe you live a long life if you're happy. Maybe sometime you end up dying young because you lived too happy. What do you guys think? You think the key to life is happiness? You think the key to health is having a smile? Do you think that optimists live longer than pessimists? There was this advertisement that kept popping up when I was watching, I wasn't really watching, I was just listening to music off of YouTube. I do it because I don't love YouTube, but there are a lot of songs on YouTube, and I can listen to them, and I don't care about YouTube or Google. They're evil. Everything is evil on the Death Star. I don't care. But I'll be watching these videos, and these advertisements will pop up every once in a while, these cancer advertisements saying, the key to cancer is having only positive people in your life. The key to surviving cancer. Well, perhaps. But it's kind of crappy because, you know, not everyone is an optimist. Not everyone's happy, shiny. So what you're basically saying is if you're dying of cancer, make sure you exclude everybody from you that might be negative because, hey, it's really important to cut out people who've been part of your life at the end of your life. That's actually really, really terrible fucking advice, actually. You've got to only have positive people around you. Well, I hate to break it to you. Some people are not positive all the time. And sometimes those are the people you want around you. You know why? Because the positive people, how can I put this? They're buffer space for stuff that doesn't involve unicorns and Disney World and princess fucking brides and bullshit. They don't want to hear it. They say, oh, just don't think about it. Push it down, forget about it. Yeah, that's a great way to deal with, like, PTSD. Anywho, the positive people tend to be dirtbags. They don't want to listen. Maybe it's because they're sociopaths and they're lying and they really, you know, think life is shit, but they don't care. Maybe it's because they've never been through anything. But what I can tell you is that when you're going through shit, the positive people can be some of the worst fucking people to have around. They're the motherfuckers who give you glib little fucking statements and then walk away. They give you a little fucking cliche, you know, put on a happy face. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. But you know what? Maybe what the person going through shit really needs is someone to fucking listen. Not someone to say, go get a drug. Not someone to say, why don't you watch this fucking video on some new type of guru? No, no, no. Maybe the guru could help, but not today. Sometimes what the person needs is someone able to listen to the darkest and most wretched parts of the human heart. And a lot of positive people, they're not really equipped for that. They're equipped for, like, you know, being cheerleaders sometimes. But they're not really equipped for dealing with the darkness, really. So, and I'm not saying you should exclude them either. That's not my fucking point. My point is, don't just exclude people in times of trouble because, oh, that person might be negative. That person might actually be exactly the person you need at that point in time. Just an idea. far as this old woman goes, maybe she is 128, maybe she's not. Maybe she's only 120 and she's lying, and really at that point, does it fucking matter? I mean, I, for one, want to live as long as I'm able to do so. I know that sounds circular, but think about it. I want to live as long as I can eat and drink, as long as I can feel some pleasure, as long as life has something in it worth living for. Let me live. I want to live. But if I have to spend the last 20 years of my life in an assisted living facility, I'd just as soon be dead. Period. That's just another circle of hell. Now, you could say, well, Dan, what about grandkids? Well, I don't have any grandkids. What about, you know, nieces and nephews? Well, my nieces and nephews, you know what? I think they're going to have their own problems. They're going to be fighting their own battles for their own families. They really won't need to worry or need desire to visit old Uncle Dan in the assisted living warehouse. I could imagine the malls, like a lot of these malls being converted to giant assisted living facilities, you know? Just people in rows. People in rows on some sort of basic life support just dwindling through. You can have it if you want it. But if there is no spice to life, if there is no excitement at all, if there is nothing that I can do to be a human being except for just to sit there and just die, then really that's no life at all. That's not a life. That's just a death sentence. Yeah, this little Saigon report kind of didn't turn out exactly as expected. Before I close out, I got my first chapter of the Little Saigon Diary done today. It's still rough. It probably should be rewritten 50 times, and guess what? It might not be. I have to get some traction with this, so even if I do circle back and fix it a little, it's unlikely to be fixed anytime soon because I need to keep doing this. I can't stop. It's part of this process of not giving up on life. I need to start floating my resume again. And believe me, that freaks me out because I don't fit. You know? There's not a job for a guy like me at this point. So it's hard to find anything that I can even stomach, and I gotta do it. Nobody gets a free lunch. And you know what? It's the Death Star, and I suppose if you're special, you get help. I'm not special. And I don't care that I'm not special. But yeah, I've been trying to, in my heart, find a reason to give a shit. And so finishing this first chapter, as rough as it is a sign that maybe I still give a shit. I really don't know. It could be a sign that I was out of alcohol and weed. It could also be a sign that I was out of beer. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, if you listen to this podcast and you're kind of like George Maharis in some 1960s Chevrolet Corvette convertible on Route 66, going down that fucking highway of your own empty, dark, dark heart. If you're like some guy just cruising the streets of the emptiness, looking for an abandoned diner that you can hang out at. If you're out there someplace and you've taken care of your cats and your dogs, you've taken care of your girlfriends, your hookers, you got all the cocaine you need. Make sure you have all the cocaine you need. if you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, if you've taken care of people you care about in your life, friends, family, loved ones, children, ex-wives, maybe, and after doing all the things you need to do, you have some money left over. You can donate to this podcast by clicking on either the link to Venmo or PayPal in the description of this podcast, or you can donate by clicking on the same links that exist on my SoundCloud homepage at iamsully.com. It would be nice to get more money, but I don't want you to send me money if you don't have it. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just recommend my crazy podcast to others. You can do that. But if you do have the money and you want to help, I sure as shit'll take it. And for this February the 6th, 2020, at approximately almost 8 p.m., almost 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time here in Little Saigon, Seattle, Thursday, February the 6th, 2020. For this date here in Seattle's date time coordinate system of X, Y, and Z and T, all I can say is please be safe. Please be careful and do not order the bat soup.